The sun struggles up another beautiful day, and I felt glad in my own suspicious way.
Greetings, DS106 radio listeners, and welcome to Summer Fun from some of the good folks known as the Naked Lunch Bunch in Bunkhouse 3. I'm Chris Swanson from South Florida, where it's pretty much summer all the time, and I'll be your host for the next half hour or so. We have three stories for you, all connected to summer. Find a shady spot to hang your hammock, fill a tall glass with an icy beverage of your choice, and listen in as we muse about what makes summer special. Starting us off is UMW student Kayvon Johnson with the top 10 vacation spots for those of you in Virginia. Start us off, Kayvon.
Time to sit back, relax, and unwind, because it's summertime. Okay, so what I want to talk to you guys about today is the top 10 vacation spots in Virginia. Now, it's summertime, like my bumper said, and this is the time where all the families get together and have fun, spend some bonding time, and just get away from all the homework, the schoolwork, the work from work, the struggle, the stress, the anxiety. And the top 10 places that I want to talk about, the first place will be Richmond. Richmond, as in the city of Richmond in Virginia, is one of the greatest cities in the world, in my opinion. They have thousands of attractions there. You have the history of the city, the culture of the city. It's a very thriving town, and you can spend your day at one of the many museums. They have a range of museums from world-class art to classic art, exhibits, and stuff about the historical past of Virginia, and it's very, very, very exciting and very intriguing. There's something there for everybody. The second place I want to talk about is the Virginia Beach Amusement Park. I had no idea what this was. I've never ever heard of it until I looked it up. But from my research, you can tell that they have loads of family fun, and they have a lot of pools and water slides and stuff for children. So it might not be so much for the adults, but you can go out on the pier and look across at the water, and of course you can watch like the sunset. Like, that's what you want to do for like older couples. They have a lot of rides, games, museums, attraction, they have the music, and just more fabulous stuff. The third place I want to talk about is the Augustine National Cemetery. Now, this is where like military veterans and everybody else are buried, and heroes, many, many, many heroes that people don't know about buried there. The Augustine National Cemetery is of course located in Arlington, and you can go there and just visit graves. Like, it's very open, and some people go there like on 9/11 to give thanks to the soldiers who have fallen. My fourth place is the Chrysler Museum, that's located in Norfolk, Virginia, and it's more for artsy people or people who are fans of arts. The Chrysler Museum is located, like I said, in Norfolk. They have a lot of impressive art, and one journalist said, "This museum is one of the museums in the world that you would die for." Now, I'm not quite sure why he said that, but I'm sure he said it because of how enriched it is with many forms of art. The fifth place I want to talk about is the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and Tunnel. I know people don't like tunnels because they don't want to be in a closed place underwater, but the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and Tunnel spans 17.6 miles across the Chesapeake Bay. If you ever get the chance to experience that or go in the tunnel, do it. The sixth place that I want to talk about is the Cape Henry Lighthouse. Now, this is located in Fort Story, Virginia. Again, never ever heard of it, but I did some research. It was built in the year of 1881, and it was 100 feet away from the original tower. So this is the second Cape Henry Lighthouse tower. The tower is 165 feet. Yes, 165 feet tall. Yeah, impressive. The seventh place that I want to talk about is Capitol Square in Richmond, Virginia. "Give me liberty or give me death," the famous words of Patrick Henry. If you get a chance to experience the Capitol Square, it's something you will remember for the rest of your life. You can gain insight on more of our nation's history if you go there. They have a lot of history stuff. So for my history people, you would love it. The eighth place that I want to talk about is Market Square in Williamsburg. Williamsburg by itself is just beautiful, but the Market Square is located between the William & Mary College and the Capitol. And there you have like a lot of markets and fairs, Renaissance festivals, role playing, and farmers markets where you can just go shop, you know, or just experience some like old town, you know, artsy stuff. The ninth place I'm going to talk about is the Peyton Randolph House. Now, Peyton Randolph is a very important person in history. He served on like the, boards, I guess I can say. And they have the original wood paddle of furniture that from his house when it was built in 1770. So that is really something that you all should go out and see. The 10th place that I want to talk about is Canal Walk. And again, in Richmond, Virginia. Now this one, unlike the park I mentioned earlier, this one is more for older people where you can get on the ferry and view the city. And they do have a lot of family-friendly locations there, but it's very like romantic and for older people. So I hope you all get a chance to go out and experience some of these places. And like I said, it's summertime, it's time to relax, unwind, and just have pure fun with your family.
That is kind of nippy for a June 25, isn't it? Whew. I'm Trooper Harrison. I'm your head counselor. And this is my wake-up show. I'll be coming at you every morning. About this time, hoping to make your summer camp experience the best available in this price range. Of course, across the lake, over Camp Mohawk, they won't be getting up for another hour or so. When they do, they'll be awakened by servants bearing croissants and cafe au lait. Oops, hope I didn't hit anybody. But over here at Camp North Star this morning, we're going to be having a delicious gruel breakfast. And don't forget to ask for seconds because it's all the gruel you can eat.
DS106 Radio, this is Chris Swanson. Now here's a piece I did about camp in the 21st century. DigiCamp in Boca Raton, Florida is pretty much what I think DS106 would be like if we were all put in the same physical place and we're all still in middle school. Jump onto the old non-air-conditioned bus as we head on back to camp. Camp is part of summer for many kids, and there are lots of different kinds of camps. There are the sleepaway camps, nestled away in faraway mountains and forests, and then there are the local day camps. When I was a kid, growing up in South Florida in the 70s and 80s, my parents sent me to all sorts of these day camps. They served the purpose of getting me out of the house during the day for a week or so at a time, and probably saving my poor mother's sanity in the process. Most of them lasted a week or so, and were centered around some theme or activity. I remember attending a soccer camp, science museum camp, zoo camp, and art camps at various facilities near my home. I liked going to them mostly, I think because we did interesting things and I got to meet and hang around with other kids. And it wasn't school. These memories of fun summer camps returned to me a few summers ago when I started working for DigiCamp in Boca Raton, Florida. It's owned and operated by an old friend of mine, Mark Stancil, one of the best teachers I've ever had the privilege to work with, and an all-around nice guy. Mark uses the facilities at the middle school he now works at as the TV production teacher to put together week-long programs for 3rd through 8th graders. They allow them to produce their own digital media. Photography and Photoshop, video production, live TV studio broadcasts, video game programming, and LEGO robotics building are all available. These campers dive right into the work. They write and rewrite, storyboard, collaborate, choral, and finally produce work with a childlike enthusiasm that you don't generally expect from middle school-aged kids. This past week, the big video production assignment was a suited film to be entered in the Palm Beach County Swede Fest next month. The idea of a suited film comes from the Jack Black Most Deaf comedy, Be Kind, Rewind, where Black accidentally erases all the movies in Most Deaf's character's video store, and they set out to remake them by themselves with whatever props they can find laying around. The DigiCamp kids jumped into the challenge, working on everything from a digitally animated production of Avatar made in Scratch, to remakes of Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars, and even Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Much of the production work is done with an inexpensive consumer video camera and a large portable green screen, which is where we join Dante, Cameron, and Alex.
I'm about in the middle of the green screen. Okay? Go. Arthur! You must find the Holy Grail.
Okay, sure.
That's it.
That was good. Okay. Except it was a little weird when he said, okay, sure.
All
better.
No, it's close enough.
Resume normal activities.
Don't believe the whatever comment you just heard. All of the work kids put into their projects make them want their final product to come out perfectly. Here's camp owner Mark helping with some voiceover work for sixth grader Santa's Avatar Suite.
You can always move it. So just click up there somewhere.
I'm doing the next one, right? Ready?
Go ahead.
I'm doing the next one, right?
All right, sounds simple enough.
Not all right. It just sounds simple enough.
All right. Okay, I'll do it again.
Sometime during the week, a common passion among many of these kids merged with video production, Minecraft. A team wrote a storyboard for an adventure that takes place within Minecraft, and was trying to figure out how to shoot it in the real world. I mentioned that I had a Minecraft server set up on my laptop, and The Adventure of Steve became the first DigiCamp video shot entirely within Minecraft. It wasn't.
So what are you making towers for?
We're making a tower for a castle.
So what for? Yeah. What for? Is it doing another video?
Yeah.
What's the video about?
It's we build a big castle, and then we have,
Well, just describe it to me.
Alright, so we make a big castle so we can, because we're just doing that because we get Minecraft, and then I figure out, monsters come at night and try to kill us. So then we have a big montage of putting up defenses, like a TNT cannon, which I will do.
You can see in these kids' faces how much fun most of them have had during camp. The teacher in me also sees how much that they're learning. Like I did, these kids enjoy camp in part just because it isn't school. They've largely determined what they work on, chose who they would work with, and over the past week, some of the kids were involved in as many as 6 videos, taking part in writing, shooting, revising. All those skill sets we struggle to get kids to care enough about at school to do them at a high level. Maybe school needs to become more like camp. Thanks for listening to DS106 Radio. Now here's Chris Chrisman from the great state of North Carolina with a little bit of brain science to mix in with your summer soundtrack.
Prefrontal cortex, neural correlates. These are not terms you expect to hear in a discussion of summer music. Wild abandon, driving funk, hip-hop, shag, bubblegum pop, oh yeah. There's something epically interesting, though, about the music we come to associate with the summers, those that become the soundtracks of our lives. Who knew there was a neuroscience basis for music's ability to spark our memory?
Give me a kiss to build a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss.
A piece of music can serve as a soundtrack for a mental movie that starts playing in our heads. That's what Petra Giannotta, a cognitive neuroscientist at the University of California, Davis, thinks. So in a study using brain scans to explore neural correlates, the first of its kind examining the possible music-memory connection, Giannotta found that it's the region, the prefrontal cortex right behind the forehead, where the brain not only processes music, tracks chords and key changes, but it's also the place where self-reflection and recall of autobiographical details takes place. Aha! So, I'm not sure which part of my brain lit up, but wherever questions are generated. And I thought I'd do my own little study to see what kind of autobiographical stories were sparked by a call for tales of soundtracks of summers past. I got two types. The first, your walks down memory lane, represented by Norm's 4th of July memory.
In my town, they have a street dance on the 4th of July every year. Whenever they announce it, I always remember it, the old song. Calling out around the world, are you ready for a brand new beat? Summer's here and the time is right for dancing in the street.
Summer's here and the time is right for dancing in the streets. They're dancing in Chicago.
Street? Who did that anyway? I think a lot of people did that song over the years. The one I have in my head is The Mamas and the Papas. How old is that? All you need is music, sweet music.
And I got those that use music as a springboard to reflection. Alan shared a music memory connection about a very special summer camp song and the difference that camp made in his life.
Oh, I forgot the rest of it. Anyhow, sounds of summer past. I can't help but think of going to summer camp, real summer camp, Camp Glendon in Maryland, diabetic camp. I was diagnosed at age 7, and if it wasn't for kind of that camaraderie fitting in and learning how to take care of myself, Camp Glendon, I may not be here. Can almost remember the words. Let's see, hey, Camp Glendon, that's where we go. Swimming and hiking and tramping to and fro. We learn our A vegetables and our B ones too. Camp Glendon, I forget the rest of it, but we thank Dr. Silver and Uncle Dan and all the rest of them. But Camp Glendon song, I got most of it in my head.
Catchy. I'm going to continue collecting these music memories, and I'll always begin my solicitation with my own soundtrack of summer's past. We just finished dinner at Ole Ole, our favorite restaurant in Charlotte. We drove up to the hotel, and the love of my life reached to turn off the music. It was Letters from Home by Pat Metheny. I said, please, don't touch that dial. But he did. He reached over, turned the radio off, and said,
The music never stops, and kissed me. And you know, it never has.
Summer's over, you're going back to school. I'm staying here, where else would I go? Watch the leaves turn.
Well, that's all we've got for you this time. For Kayvon Johnson, Chris Christman, and myself, Chris Swanson, thanks for listening to our little slice of DS 106 radio. We're going to play you out with Jonathan Colton's Summer's Over. Hope the rest of your summer is wonderful.
Bide their time under the snow as they go down the sea. Go down.